So, at the beginning of our shows, we usually play sound clips from something, and we're going to do that in a second, but just to give you a content warning, this clip contains gunshots. If you don't want to hear it, we're going to play about 30 seconds of it, so you can fast forward about 30 seconds, starting now. Right, and you just heard gunshots opening up in one of the big protests today. And apparently someone has died.
Yes, his name is Garrett Foster. He was shot during a protest. He was with a female I don't know if it was his partner or just a friend, but he was with her. She was in a wheelchair, and there's pictures of him holding a rifle, and apparently he was shot. I'm seeing a lot of noise on Twitter about that's the reason why he was shot, was that he had a rifle and it intimidated somebody, and he was shot that way, despite Texas being an open carry state, despite the rights constant. We have the right to bear arms and them marching into state legislations and openly carrying guns to various protests as counter-protesting. They opened fire on him, but his name is Garrett Foster, and the suspect who did the shooting is currently detained.
Did they release a name or an identity or affiliation or anything?
There is no name and no affiliation as of now. I'm sure that it will go at a snail's pace, as it usually does when it comes to this. My problem is that when people open fire, usually the cops put them down really quick. There is no detaining, like, such as when people of color do something that is quote-unquote violent, or if they're just armed or protecting themselves, they're immediately put down. But a guy that, you know, shoots at a protester for social justice, he is detained. He's detained, with no conflict or anything like that, just detained.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is institutional violence stuff. We'd love to see it. I don't know. They just can't stop. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to shut down the protests in as many different ways as they can. And I guess, well, moving on, I don't know if this is the police did this, but a Jeep rushed through a crowd in Aurora, Colorado as well.
Yeah, and opened fired as well and injured two protesters.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's, I guess we'll roll the clip for that too.
Shit. Yo, is everybody okay over there?
Yeah, as you can see, it's a Jeep rushing down a road, and you see protesters just trying to get out of the way. You hear some gunfire, and then the video that we just played, it shows just people rushing to somebody that's down on the ground. I don't think a suspect's been detained for that yet. I saw a license plate circulating on, you know, Twitter and other social media platforms. But outside of that, I haven't heard any news.
Gotcha. It's been a violent weekend of protests so far. Yeah. there was another shooting in Louisville, Kentucky, where the NFAC, the Not Fucking Around Coalition, if you remember on our previous episode, they marched on Stone Mountain, Georgia, with all their rifles and guns and stuff to protest the birthplace of the KKK, essentially. And they moved to Louisville for Breonna Taylor for the weekend, and three NFAC members were injured during a shooting as they were gathering up. There were thankfully no life-threatening injuries. They all went to a hospital. There are no charges or outstanding suspects yet. So I guess we'll slowly get more information about that later. But it could be, this is just speculation, but it could be related to the three percenters who counter-protested the NFAC in Louisville over the weekend, although the three percenters had lesser numbers. So could be a connection, could not be. We don't really know anything yet, but it's just an interesting coincidence right there.
Yeah. It's there's been multiple, outside of, you know, just like shootings and people being hurt, there's been multiple things that I've seen on Twitter of people trying to run over protesters, people, you know, threatening violence against protesters, especially on the internet. It's just escalating to me, and I don't know what happens next. But we saw that like the protesting was starting to calm down, and then the entire, like, people were going out, but like Portland happened and federal agents snatching people off the street, kidnapping, you know, US citizens on the street, basically caused it to erupt again. Mm-hmm. And Portland has been, you know, the center point of the movement that's been going on the last couple of weeks. And we've seen some really horrible things, such as people getting tear gassed, people getting brain injuries from rubber bullets shot at their head. But we've also seen some inspiring things, like on the previous episode, we talked about the Wall of Moms and the Leaf Blower Dads. But last night was something new. A Wall of Veterans kind of created a barrier between the the Wall of Moms. So veterans that support the movement came out and block the moms while the moms block the protesters.
Yeah, that's some good stuff.
Yeah, that's that's kind of inspirational.
Mm-hmm. It's been interesting for me to see how it's been politicized.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, you know, the Republicans and conservatives tout how much they care about the veterans and all of this, but they don't actually like do a whole lot to meaningfully help them,
mm-hmm,
or support them in any institutional way. Mm-hmm. So it's been kind of a back and forth between like the well-meaning conservative who just votes Republican because they hate Democrats, mm-hmm, and then like the craziness from the QAnon side, and people related to them who are basically saying, just completely denouncing the Wall of Veterans. You know, like, this isn't what I fought for. You're not a real veteran, or you're an idiot or something. You know, it's just, you can't even have solidarity among the veterans, among the right. So it's just interesting, you know, to see them not really give a shit when push comes to shove for this token group that they care so much about, supposedly.
Yeah. Another thing that was inspiring that I saw was an older man. He's been social media famous for since Thursday, when he drove down from Washington with his and bought a leaf blower, and he was just like, I can't sit back and watch this. So he a boomer, an older gentleman, like older than my dad. And I was just like, all right, not only have the Republicans, like the Trump administration, pushed so hard that they've gotten everybody, almost everybody that, you know, is like left or liberal onto the streets or in solidarity. They're getting their like own like people that they target, such as boomers and veterans that are now coming out.
Yeah, it's you know, there's good boomers out there, it seems. It's actually really cool. It's really great to see that this isn't just a 100% generational thing, because that was one of the big critiques of, you know, all of this. It's just, oh, it's just a bunch of young people.
Zoomers and millennials. But we're starting to see more people like Gen X and, you know, boomers come out, and hopefully that continues to happen. I haven't checked lately, but there was word that the protests were currently marching to the Marriott Inn in Portland. And why the Marriott Inn, if you're wondering, that is where federal agents have been staying, apparently, since the Portland kidnappings began. So they are marching there, and it'll be, I'll be everywhere. I'll tweet whatever I can after we get done recording this. But that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I am kind of poking through live streams. At least all the ones that are being shown are, it looks like, outside the police station. But oh my God, there's so many fucking people. Like, there's always been a lot of people, but this is insane. But I'm sure there's some other outside the Marriott. I'll see if I can poke around a little bit, but that's interesting that they figured out where they're staying. And of course it would be, you know, a really high end hotel. Not, you know, Knights Inn or whatever. Interesting. Yeah. And Portland's been kind of the epicenter, and so naturally there's the kind of legal battle that's happening as well. Unfortunately, kind of like how we saw with, at least for me, there were big cases, but last summer we had the refugee crisis, and the Democrats failed to really stand up to anything. And then we had the weak impeachment case that was just, it was a slam dunk, and the Democrats fucked it up because they were charging against super vague premises. And the same kind of thing is just happening here with a recent lawsuit in Oregon that was supposed to protect the protesters. And according to the Associated Press, Oregon was seeking a restraining order on behalf of its residents for not for injuries that had already happened, but to prevent injuries by federal officers in the future. That combination makes the standard for granting such a motion very narrow, and the state did not prove it. Had a standing in the case, according to federal judge Michael Mossman, who was appointed by George W. Bush. He also described the case as, I forget the wording, a weird, or a case with a bunch of peculiarities or something like that, right? It's just, oh, it's a weird case. And there's been other legal experts basically saying that a stronger case could have been made by accusing the federal agents, you know, snatching people up and all this other shit, of violating constitutional rights, which they are, and enacting unconstitutional searches and seizures. So it's like, again, this is also sort of a slam dunk and a completely missed opportunity. And this just feels like political theater to me.
It's just to ramp up
the drama.
What it is to me is Democrats clutching their pearls, furrowing their eyebrows and just waving their finger of like, don't do that, to a clear abuse of power. Which leads me into my next point of this week. Barbara Boxer from California said, the Department of Homeland Security was a mistake. I regret voting for it, saying I never imagined a president like Trump when I voted to create the Department of Homeland Security. Which is such a fucking cop-out because they just reauthorized it in March. The Patriot Act just got reauthorized, which gave Trump these powers to do this. And every progressive, like even when I was younger and barely politically aware, I recall every progressive of the time just being like, no, you cannot create this. You cannot give a president these overreaching powers because it will be abused somewhere down the line. And rank and file Democrats, corporate Democrats, didn't care. Like always, they don't listen to the progressive wing and they just voted for it anyways. Now, Joe Biden, you know, brags about helping create the Patriot Act, and he hasn't bragged about it lately. Better on that part. He needs to shut his mouth on it.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So basically, they gave the president these powers, and Obama signed the NDAA, which is being used against our own citizens. That there's lots of guilt. Like, that's the thing, is I'm so tired of fucking liberals just being like, oh, the president's abusing these powers, the president's doing this. Well, you guys gave him the power for it. You fucking gave him the power. You gave him the power 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago. And you had, like, hindsight's 2020. And you should have listened then. Everybody was screaming about it. Everybody's been screaming about it every time that the Patriot Act's up for reauthorization, at least anybody that has any fucking sense, in my opinion. And I hope this is the wake-up call for the next time that the government has to reauthorize the Patriot Act. I hope that everybody remembers what is happening right now of citizens being taken in unmarked cars, citizens being hit with rubber bullets in the head, intentionally trying to maim them. I hope that everybody remembers that when it's time to vote on this shit again, because if they don't, it just, you know, will prove people like me who just believe that, you know, the Democrats really don't have our fucking best interest.
They don't. And there were even, I mean, of course, you know, there's going to be conservatives who bitch and moan about free speech and freedom and overreaching government, and whatever. And some of them are sincere, you know, even though they're still going to fall in line. But I hope this is also a wake-up call, because, like, hi, there's a police state, tyrannical police state happening. Just because it's happening to people that you don't like on the other side of the spectrum, it's going to happen to you one day when you accidentally step out of line. And by that time, if nothing changes and things keep going the way they are, if they step out of line, by that point things will have progressed to such an extent that, I mean, there might be like public executions for like littering or some shit, like, no joke, because they've enabled it the entire way along with the Democrats. I don't know, whatever, we'll see. With the, I'm not holding my breath for conservatives to wake up, but, you know, just food for thought. Yeah, I don't have
another highlight of Democrats being frankly fucking useless, in my opinion, is Mayor Lightfoot of Chicago. You may remember not too long ago, she was saying that there was no way she would allow Trump's Gestapo, Trump's federal agents, to come in there into Chicago to quell their protests, to kidnap people from the streets. Well, guess what? She caved and she let them in. And this is what she said. is the Trump administration is not going to foolishly deploy unnamed agents to the streets of Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot said Tuesday. We have information that allows us to say, at least at this point, that we don't have a Portland-style deployment coming to Chicago. Emphasis on this point.
Because that makes it all the better.
Yeah, it makes it all the better. Humor me for a second. How many times has Trump mentioned the crime in Chicago since 2015?
Fuck. Feels like at least once a week. At this point.
Yeah, Chicago has been the big boogeyman to him, of him talking about all the crime. And of course, that's echoed by the Fox News crowd and the MAGA crowd and just every conservative pundit out there of Chicago this, Chicago's crime is this, Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. And you really are taking his word that he's not going to deploy a Portland style thing in Chicago? No, that's fucking stupid. She caved. She has to know what's coming. And she didn't care. She didn't care. She allowed him.
Yeah, she allowed him. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. At this point, I just like to have fun speculating what happened. Like, was there like money under the table? Was there a threat? I don't know. I mean, also, it's just Democrats being absolutely useless, like you said. They don't stand up for anything. It's fucking fun. It's just like, this feels like cowardice to me, really. I think, most of all, like, oh, it's not going to be bad right now. And just like, hide in a corner and pray it doesn't escalate when in the back of your mind, you know it's going to. But you're just going to, you know, be ignorant of that. I don't know. Everything is just ramping up across the country. Last episode, we talked about, you know, these movements expanding to these federal agents being expanded into other cities. And I mean, Chicago was one of them. It's just going to continue to go on.
Yeah, it's not going to end. It doesn't end. The closer we get to an election, the more amped up it's going to get, the more division they're going to create, the more outrage they're going to create. And even if Joe Biden does win, it doesn't go away overnight. They're not going to just stand down suddenly and be like, oh, well, Joe Biden won the election. No, they're going to keep on amping it up because that's what they want to do. And even if, like, as I said, even if Joe Biden wins, Trump's still in there until January 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So what the fuck do you think he's going to do with that last little bit of presidency if he loses?
Yeah, assuming he does.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump's just going to go super crazy towards the end of whatever his term is, whether it's this one or another 4 years. Doesn't matter. He's going to do some insane shit. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like if he loses, while he still has like at least some of his mental faculties, he's gonna just go even more apeshit than compared to another 4 years.
Yeah, and if you think he leaves quietly, you haven't been attention, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Shit, I don't know. Well, this is looking to be a really short episode, which I'm okay with, because holy crap, there's been so much, and I've been like trying to stay away from as much of the news as possible the last couple days. But I did find some good QAnon gems to kind of round out the show. Actually, speaking of, I didn't list this one, but speaking of police brutality and shit, there was one tweet I found. It was a video compilation of all the police brutality happening over the past couple months to protesters, just all across the states and whatever. And it was tweeted with the simple phrase, "This is how it's done." Like, yeah, this is how fascism is done. You're right. You left out the F word. Might want to correct that later on. But yeah, again, these people just don't fucking care. But a little bit light, a little more lighthearted as far as Q goes anyways. There is the post I found out as a picture basically saying that, quote unquote, they in Cabal are claiming that the recent Twitter ban of QAnon accounts is part of the same playbook, so to speak, that also led to the El Paso shooting, which is insane mental gymnastics to pretend that a blatant white supremacist mass shooter is like the same thing as corporate censorship. Like, what? Or just a corporation enacting their user license agreement and banning hateful content that and people that promote violence against other people, like, you know. Okay, let's muddy the waters even more about what, you know, how fascist Q is. It's insane. And there's also another big push by QAnon, because they're so big on, you know, anti-pedophilia and taking down, you know, all these sex rings and whatever. There's it's called the Dragon's Den, whatever the fuck that name came from. It's supposed to be this big operation for people to unveil child trafficking hashtags on Twitter, you know, use like code words for whatever. And there is a movement to kind of, it's being orchestrated by like a couple particular people, and they're slowly releasing various hashtags that are linked to, you know, child trafficking. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, well, if you already have like a list, you know, you got this image with like hashtags and then you got them like blanked out, but you have like two of them revealed, why not just release the whole thing? Like, if this is such a big deal, if this is such a moral abhorrent fucking thing that's happening, why not go balls to the wall, go all out, expose all of them at once? But, you know, they just need an excuse for people to come back for more content. It's a marketing strategy. Also a marketing strategy, it looks like. There is a Child Lives Matters protest in Hollywood next weekend. I don't know how many people are going to show up or what it's going to look like. Again, trying to reappropriate, you know, Black Lives Matter, because the right can't think of anything new. And then lastly, this overall theme, there's an overall theme on Q Twitter, basically calling everyone patriots and kind of specifically soldiers. There's this big military language emphasis, and, you know, everyone's fighting the good fight, so to speak, by posting memes. Apparently, if you post enough QAnon memes or anti-pedophilia memes, that somehow that's gonna like do something, and you're like a soldier and you get a pat on the back for that. I don't know, it's just so pedantic, but people hook, line, and sinker, and it's kind of sad. But it's also just kind of amusing, like morbidly amusing to watch people fall for this. So I don't know. That's all I got for Q stuff. A lot of just a lot of bitching and moaning about getting banned and how they're, you know, starting new accounts and woe is me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got nothing else.
I wish that, you know, we had more like, you know, positive uplifting news outside of just like the wall of vets, but it's a pretty fucking dark time right now. I'm celebrating just like a lots of just hate towards the man that was killed in Austin, Texas. QAnon's actually jumping in on it, so. But what we'll do is when more information comes out, we will share it in the next episode. And this should drop tomorrow. But if you like what you hear, go to AmericanShakedown.com. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. Give us a good rating. It helps people find the show. Each week, we just try to cover the news as much as possible. And, you know, give our insight to what we think is going on. And we appreciate any support and listening listeners out there.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend and stay safe with whatever you're doing.